The U.S. Centers for Disease Control has published an assessment of the threat Americans face from antibiotic-resistant germs, and it's a bit sobering. The report is the first time hard numbers have been reported for deaths and costs related to fighting diseases that no longer respond to antibiotics. A few numbers: 23,000 deaths and an additional $20 billion a year in healthcare spending. Joining us to talk about the CDC report is Dr. Christopher Waters of MSU's Microbiology and Molecular Genetics Department. Welcome to Current State.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you taking on this topic. This is a really important concern.
Well, first of all, give us the layman's version of what you study here at MSU.
So my lab studies actually a process called bacterial biofilm formation. And so this is a process where bacteria attach to surfaces and they can secrete extracellular matrix material. And this actually helps protect them from antibiotics. So it's part of this resistance problem.
Okay.
So if you get these kinds of infections on artificial surfaces like a hip implant or a catheter or a pacemaker, then these infections can't be cleared by antibiotics. So we're trying to find new ways to target these infections, and we're also developing new small molecules that target biofilms.
We wanted to have someone on the show to follow up on this CDC assessment involving antibiotic-resistant organisms. It's a pretty scary thought. I mean, they're essentially saying many antibiotics will increasingly not work on a number of illnesses anymore. Kind of like saying you can't use water to put out fires anymore. Explain what happens to bacteria and other organisms that enable them to resist antibiotics.
Sure. Well, it's really basic evolution. So if you think about what is an antibiotic is a small molecule whose purpose is to kill bacteria. And these can be produced from natural sources. They can also be synthetically made by people. And so what these small molecules do is target processes in bacteria that are essential for growth. So bacteria are quite small, and they can exist in large population sizes of millions or billions or trillions of cells. And due to natural genetic variation, so natural mutation, there's always a few bacteria in the population that have resistance to these antibiotics. So you can imagine these are mutations that disrupt the target of the antibiotic. So the antibiotic can't bind to the target. So when you treat these populations with antibiotics, what happens is 99.999% of all the population is killed, but those few cells that are resistant remain. And so now they repopulate this space, and you've gone from a population of susceptible bacteria to one that's resistant. And this happens over and over and over in the environment and during infections, and that's how resistance emerges.
Was this inevitable?
It is inevitable. So for every antibiotic that's been introduced, the first antibiotic that was widely used was penicillin back in the 1940s. And it's really interesting. You can look and see when resistance developed, and it's usually within a few years. And it's really just evolution in action. Resistance is going to develop. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't try to limit it or manage it as much as possible, but resistance will develop.
Many of the illnesses mentioned in the CDC report have been considered treatable for a long time. Salmonella, gonorrhea. As a scientist, does it feel strange to you to see things that once were curable move toward being more difficult to cure?
Well, I mean, as a microbiologist and someone who also studies evolution, I've been aware of this problem for a long time. So it actually makes quite a bit of sense to me that bacteria will evolve resistance. So this is something that has been on the radar screen for a long time, and I'm really glad the CDC came out with this report and we're talking about this issue, because this is really something that, as you mentioned, is kind of a grim prospect, you know, if we can't treat these infections. And so it's something that we need to start really dealing with, because it's going to take a few years to start to come up with new antibiotics.
Do things like antibacterial soap help, or do they make things worse?
There's a lot of debate on that issue. I think the literature says that you don't really need antibacterial soap, that you can get resistance to those as well, that just washing your hands using standard soap is perfectly acceptable.
And part is this challenge accentuated by the fact that we use stronger antibiotics than are necessary? Then isn't that what underlay a part of this?
I think it more has to do with we use antibiotics when we shouldn't. So part of the CDC report
It's not so much the strength, it's the frequency.
Right. Okay. So the CDC estimated that 50% of all medical use of antibiotics was unnecessary. So these are things like, you know, viral colds or viral flus. People go in and, you know, I have three kids, so I get this. Your kid's sick, you go to the doctor, you want to have a pill that makes them feel better. But if you're using antibiotics for things that aren't bacterial infections, then this is leading to more resistance.
Is this an issue you feel the public is adequately aware of?
No, not at all. Absolutely not. So I think people still have the impression that, you know, they'll always be able to go in the doctor, get an antibiotic, and take care of this infection. And you, as you mentioned, that the resistance is just growing and growing and growing. So we could reach a point where if we don't develop new antibiotics, where that's not the case, where we go to the pre-antibiotic era, where we just don't have these things. And when I think about the pre-antibiotic era, you know, you think about these Civil War battles where soldiers got infections and the only way they could really treat these infections
Amputation,
was to get out the saw. And really, that's not that far off if we lose the ability to use these antibiotics. And the other thing I would mention, too, is it's not just infections that's the problem. It's all of these other medical treatments that we do. So if you think about cancer chemotherapy, right, or complex surgery that has the ability to introduce bacteria deep within tissue, or organ transplant where you suppress the immune system. All of these things rely on having antibiotics to limit secondary infections. So if we lose the ability to use antibiotics, then not only do we have this problem with infections, all these other medical treatments become much more dangerous. So it's really a scary thought.
We're talking with Dr. Chris Waters of MSU's Microbiology and Molecular Genetics Department about antibiotic-resistant germs and what lay ahead. Should a patient who's aware of this situation, should a patient whose doctor recommends an antibiotic maybe resist that prescription or question that prescription in an effort to try to make the situation better?
Well, I think patients should be aware that antibiotics aren't a cure-all for all infections. So I think there needs to be conversations with doctors about, is this a bacterial infection? Is this a viral infection? I mean, if it's not confirmed that it's bacterial, maybe you want to hold out, wait for the tests to actually determine what kind of infection it is.
So there must be some number of physicians who overprescribe antibiotics, too. I mean, we're talking millions, a population of millions. Are there physicians who overprescribe antibiotics?
Sure, there is antibiotics. I mean, 50%, right, of antibiotics were used when they shouldn't have been. So I think physicians are becoming more aware of the problem, and I think the CDC report will help, but there's certainly room for improvement. So there's another issue, too. Antibiotics, actually 80% of all antibiotics in the country are used in agricultural settings, believe it or not. So these are...
What does that mean?
Well, these are farms, food farms, so animal farms. Antibiotics are just given in food to try and help health and increase the growth of farm animals. And in many cases, these are not needed. So these tons of antibiotics are being pumped into the environment, and bacteria in these animals are being exposed to antibiotics, and resistance is developing.
Very good. Quickly, can you tell me what encourages you? What single thing encourages you?
Yeah, well, I think we've got a lot of academic institutions that are developing new antibiotics, and if we can keep up the federal research for funding, we can start to keep developing these and put them in the pipeline.
We're talking antibiotic-resistant germs. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Chris Waters of MSU's Microbiology and Molecular Genetics Department. Thank you, Christopher. Good luck.
All right. Thank you very much.